It's good to be back, and I can see that you guys are all back. And I know in my spirit, I know in my heart, I was praying this whole week, and I felt that from now towards the end of the year, you know, a lot of people go on holiday and so on and so on. But the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I must do everything in me to begin to put full spiritual momentum in towards the end of the year. I don't know why He said it to me, but I'm going to do it. So for me, I'm, you know, I do that. I after a few months, I finally have a type of an office at home that I can pray again in. And that is where my strength is. Many of you know that when I would preach or so, it is my strength lies in a place where I can spend with time with God at home. And I encourage every single one of you to do the same. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 7. It says these words. It says, yet grace. Say with me, grace. God's unmerited favor was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ, to Christ's gifts, in proportion to the measurement of Christ's gift. I want to explain this to you before we get into my sermon. But he says, listen here, grace has been given to every single person according to the gift of Christ. Are you guys with me? So how many of you know that you have received grace? If you can raise your hands. Okay, for those who have been given grace, grace was given to each of us individually in proportion to the measure, Sophie, to the measure of Christ's gift. What does this mean? That means that grace has been given to you sitting here. But that grace has been given to you in proportion. Some as little, some as much. In proportion and measure to Christ's gift upon your life. Now what that means is this. Let's go on to read verse 8. Go on to read, that's what it means. Therefore it is said, he who sinned it on high led captivity captive, where he led train vanquished losers, and he bestowed gifts on men. Now this is the Christ gifts he bestowed upon men. Next verse. So we're going to see now what the gift of Christ is. Because our grace is a measurement to Christ's gift. Are you guys with me? So I want to know what Christ's gift is to know how much grace I carry inside of me. It is grace that'll give you money. It is grace that'll give you the ability to get a job quickly. It is grace that'll give you the ability to work in the ministry or have gifts flowing out of you. It is the measure of grace you carry that determines the success you will have in this life. So he says, go to the next verse. He who descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he is the whole universe from the lowest of the eyes. Next verse. And his gifts. Everybody say with me, his gifts. So speaking of Christ's gifts, and his gifts varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us. Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Can everybody say with me, some? Does not mean everyone. Some evangelists. Some pastors and teachers. Now, if you actually study that, pastors and teacher is the same gift. There's no different gift between pastor and teacher. It's the same word. It's not broken up in a different distinction. So some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So he's saying, listen here, grace is given to every believer as a measure, but it is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Are you guys with me? My sound is very flat for me now. I think they had to do something to turn it on. But you know, see if you can lift it up a little bit without having that thing. So I have grace according to Christ's measure. Christ's measure is the gift, an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Meaning, the gift that you have in the church, the minister on the pulpit, the level where he is with God, whether even he is sent or not. You get people, they just become pastors, they think it's a good idea. Others just become pastors, they got nothing else to do. Others become pastors, they were ordained by man and not God. Ordination is good, I have it. Are you guys with me? But there's one scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 1 verse 5 where God says to Jeremiah, I have ordained you. There's an ordaining that takes place in heaven that I'm after. Man might be after certificates, but there's an ordaining. One of the guys I know said they like all these ordination certificates, this one and that one and this one and this. I said to him, listen, I am ordained by heaven. My fruits will speak. Some people can have 8 or 10 certificates on their wall and they have no fruits. Are you guys with me? So that's ordination. So some are given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The degree, the measure of the gift of Christ in your midst will determine the amount of grace that you will have upon your life. So that means who is on the pulpit. That means some people go to a church and there's no grace on that person's life. They sit there, the pastor tries to hike to the service or tries to, but I also didn't have a car for a year, but it's because I chose to get my car away. And then I went and got a much better car. So, and somebody had a testimony and said they put a 50 rand note on my car. And then the next week they bought the same car, you know? So there's some people that really knows how to just grab a hold of something. So it's the measure that is standing here will determine what grace you will have. We've been to churches where you look, and some of you have visited churches with us. You will look at the people and you're like, dear God, are these guys saved? There's so much light in us. There's nothing in them. And this is not to judge any new. We're just speaking. We know that in your ECC, you receive revelation. Revelation changes a person's heart, changes a person's mind. It's nothing can change a human heart except revelation. Principles can never, as good as what they are, can never change a human heart. It is revelation that changes a human heart. It is revelation that places light on the inside of you. It is revelation that causes you to be stand out. Listen to me. When I was praying, I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, there are special people in ECC. It is people that I like. It is people that I see as a special kind of people. A people full of light. A people that calls themselves, that say and quotes my words, am I not a God? Are you not gods, as Jesus said? Not gods with a capital G, but gods with a small g. For I shall make them to we shall make them in our image and our likeness. We shall look like God and function and walk like Him. I hate the sound, but it is okay. I'm patient this morning. First time in my life, I'm patient. I think it's because I'm wearing silk. This is so nice. It's just okay. So do you guys understand that? The measure of grace you will have upon your life is the measure that is determined in the grace gift. That is why we get people like Pastor Mark out here, who has an incredible grace gift. We have people like Prophet Angel coming out to you, who's incredible. You just look at the person and you see grace. That is it. They are born with it. These people are born with it. It's an election by grace. They come here and they establish you in this church, in this place. Are you guys with me? When I submit to Pastor Mark, when I submit to Prophet Angel, that grace comes down from there to me and it comes into your life. Do you know how many people have dreams about them in their dreams? How many people have experienced breakthrough? We have testimony. The people I submit under, that grace comes into this church. When the Bible speaks of impartation, it means to distribute grace. It means to give some of what I have to others. That is our mission as we build up this church here, that you may all share in what God has given us here. When I walked and an angel walked next to me, I never had an encounter like that before, nor an encounter like that after. But when an angel this high walked next to me and said, plant the church in Centurion, 18 September, no man can come against those words. Who's going to tell me I'm not allowed to plant a church? Huh? Must I begin to name the preachers by name? Says, listen here, are you higher than God's authority through an angel? In a dream, which means that God has chosen this place to equip you for the supernatural. This was not a man idea. This was a God idea. That is it. If you are sitting in this place, you are God's idea. If you are sitting in this place, you are God's thoughts. You are His poema. You are His workmanship that is going to take you and begin to work with you. Even before you were here, He had a plan for you, for your life, a thought that you're going to be part of something and somebody that's going to take this nation. Are you guys with me? The grace gift up here will determine the grace that you will get. Christ's gift up here. You can go to other churches and so on. There are many great churches with incredible grace gifts, better than here. So I'm not knocking, but you can go to some churches and you just see there's never growth. People are just like dark, walk out, discouraged, depressed, leave the church. Never grace. But I want to encourage you, begin to tap into this heart here. It's not those who touch my gift that gets blessed. It's those who touch my heart that gets blessed. It's a thing that I cannot release. It's a thing that God has to release upon people. Let me give you, I'm going to give you keys on how to become spiritually fit. And there are people that are experiencing demonic cycles, as we advertised on Facebook, demonic cycles. And it's time to break those demonic cycles. What I mean by demonic cycles, some people, once a week, they fall into pornography. Others, once every 3 months, they want to commit suicide. Whilst others, once a year, they want to run away completely, just run away. It is a demonic cycle, and that cycle is there. So it's like you get strong and you become running, you become fast, you become a strong Christian, and then that cycle comes and it takes you out again. It is a cycle that needs to be broken. Are you guys with me? And I'm going to share with you now how. So go with me to Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. And tonight is going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. The heavens are going to be open. And we'll do an anointing service. We'll anoint every person in this place. Now the Lord had said to Abram, put for me on the amplified, please. Okay, now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourselves, for your own advantage, away from your country. Say with me, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Now, this was the first promise I have ever gotten when I got saved. I got saved. My mother is here. I was living in their house. I was reading my Bible. The first time God spoke to me, I was saved maybe a month. I can't remember. First time God spoke to me, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about this verse. Said, get away from your country. Get away from your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you. It offended them too much because they didn't understand. But I moved from there to Mshlanga where I met Pastor Mark. And he trained me up, and that's why I am where I am today. But it was because I listened to the first revelation I got. This thing, get away from your country, get away from your family. Go to a place that I will show you. Are you guys with me? Next verse. And I will make of you then, say with me then. That word and is actually then, so we can change it to then. Then I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous. Say with me, famous. Somebody says famous, not in the Bible. There it is. I will make your name famous and distinguished, that when people think of you, it's like you will become a household name, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Go next verse. Now, this is the promise that God has given me. And I will, and listen to me, after I receive my prophecy, just to encourage someone, I know Pastor Mark was here on about 2 weeks ago, and he prophesied over many. The moment I received my prophecy, I was in a church around the corner here. It was 14 years ago, before I knew Pastor Mark. All hell broke loose out of my life. The day thereafter, all hell broke loose. Why? When a prophetic word is released, when there's an encouragement in the spirit, or your eyes open, you realize, but wow, I can do this. This is what I'm called to do. This is what God is saying. Every devil will try to silence you, because the devil wants you to be in a place where you cannot be effective. Are you guys with me? So I take attacks as a positive thing. So, and I will bless those who bless you, who confer every single thing prosperity. I thought it's not in the Bible, but I found it. Who confer prosperity or happiness upon you. So he's saying, listen here, Leon, every person that'll come to you, that'll bless you financially and that'll make you happy, I will bless them. And curse him who curses or uses your insolent language towards you. Because me and Pastor Walker were speaking, we were driving in the car on here to the meetings, and he said, Leon, he says, one thing you've done right always in your life. He said, you have always embraced prophets. You've given to them, you've honored them, you've honored men of God. And many of these men of God has turned on you. He says, but that's one thing you've done, and because of that, your life will always be blessed. I said, but that's a principle. I don't understand that. Anyway, insolent language towards you. In you with all will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by they will bless themselves. So this is a verse that I got for my ministry, for everything, that God says when your ministry grows, your people will be blessed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. But I shall make of you a great nation. Say with me, a great nation. That means that we're going to affect nations. Are you guys with me? Not just cities or towns. That is the first promise. How can you know? Yeah, but Leon, anybody gets a promise like that. Yeah, but not everybody has an angel walking next to them, telling them to implement the promise. And when I say it, I don't say it lightly, and that angel will appear again, and you will see. So let's go to, here it is. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10. Now we're getting into message a little bit. I want you to be encouraged on this. Are you guys with me? Tonight, open heavens. I'm calming down tonight because I want the heavens to be open tonight. I want to be piercing. I want you to feel it all over the place. God is going to speak to you tonight. It's going to be a powerful evening. And then, in fact, over the next few weeks, I have very, very good stuff to get to you that I feel that is very needed. And 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 10, it says, because of this, brethren, be all the more. No, put it for me in New King James now, thanks. Okay, therefore, brethren, be even more, say with me, even more, diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will, say it again, say you will stumble. Which means that, but wait, what are you saying, Peter? If I do this thing, I will never fall again. I will never stumble again. This is a promise that grabbed my attention, that I said, but wait, I need to know this thing. Because Christians fall. The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times, yet he stands up 7 times. Are you guys with me? And he doesn't fall an 8th time. But here Peter's saying, listen here, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. To be more diligent, put so much work into it. Put everything into it, all your energy, all your time, into making your call and election, making the call of God and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now let me just expound this verse in a way that you have not seen it before. The word call and election means this. The word call means the call of God upon our lives. Every person, a lot of people are called. Are you guys with me? Different levels, different measures. But then you have people that are elected. Are you guys with me? Those who are elected has been elected before the foundation of this world. Everybody has been ordained before the foundation of the world. Not everybody has been elected. Elected, the Bible speaks of election by grace. You have certain men of God, let's say like apostles and prophets and big evangelists and mostly your fivefold gifting, pastors, teachers. So make your call and election sure. Place everything into the call of God for your life. Say, I want to do. No, listen, when I got saved and it took me years, I went through the nights praying, night after night, worshiping, studying the Word alone. All my friends would go out. I would study the Word. I would pray. I would praise and worship. I'd spend time with some people that I'm discipling. Never spend time only with Christian friends. Spend time with people you're discipling. I'm going to say it again. Don't spend time even with Christian friends. Spend time with those whom you disciple. That is how you make. You don't affect the kingdom by friends. You affect the kingdom by training and discipling somebody. Are you guys with me? It is silent in this place, man. Anyway, okay. If you can leave, it's welcome. Your call and election is sure. For if you do these things, he says, listen, if you make your call of God sure, if you know, but wait, I am called to do this. That is the way I'm going. He says, you will never, ever stumble. You will never, ever fall. Make it sure. Next verse. For so, say with me, for so, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean salvation. It means a kingdom, meaning that once you make your call and election sure, you will now begin to walk in the kingdom, power, and dominion of God on this earth. Are you guys with me? Go for me back to verse 8. I wanted to show you. Let me show you. Go back to verse 7. Let's take this verse a little bit earlier. Verse 6. And I didn't plan this, eh? Verse 5. Okay. So, I want you to see this because these are the things that leads up to us making a call and election sure how we can do it and never stumble. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. In this reason, giving all diligence, meaning give all your diligence to this thing, to this finding out of the call of God. Add to your faith virtue. Are you guys with me? To virtue. Virtue means power. Okay? So add to your faith some power. Add to your virtue. Add to your power some knowledge. Some people get saved, all they have is power. They're just moving in power, but they have no wisdom and knowledge. You say, listen here. Now I want you to get to that place of never being able to stumble. To your faith, you have faith. Now to your faith, add power. Now to your power, add knowledge. Next verse. To your knowledge, add self-control. Say with me, self-control. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Self-control. To your self-control, say with me, perseverance. To your perseverance, add godliness. You know, the Bible says that even those who desire to be godly will be persecuted. That's not even if you become godly. That's just if you desire to be godly, you will be persecuted. Next verse. To godliness, everybody say with me, brotherly kindness. I had to struggle and fight so much to get this thing in. People would hate one another. Brotherly kindness. These are the qualities of the kingdom. Are you guys with me? When I can love my brother, when I can be kind to my brother, brotherly kindness and spiritual brothers, please also, more so spiritual brothers, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, say with me, love. Love, next verse. For if these things that's just mentioned now are yours and they abound in your life, you will neither be barren, say with me, barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, if you have these things in your life, you'll be able to make disciples. You will be able to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. You will be able to make money for the kingdom of God. You can be kingdom financiers. You can do whatever. You can be in the ministry. You become fruitful. And it is simple things we spoke about. We didn't mention prayer and fasting. We mentioned faith, power, knowledge, brotherly kindness, perseverance, brotherly affection, love. Come on, are you guys with me? If I just have those things in my life will become fruitful. I will become spiritually fit. My life will become, I will neither be barren. With barren mean you will not have spiritual children. Oh, you will have spiritual children all around you just by having these qualities. Next verse. For he who lacks these things, listen to this. Say with me, is short-sighted. There are people that cannot see beyond today or tomorrow. There are people that cannot see beyond this little church that's sitting here. They also couldn't see beyond the little church that we started a year ago with like 100 people in the building. Never thought we'd be here within a few months. Not a year ago, but a few months ago. So within a few months. So they short-sighted. I shared with my team to say to them, the worst thing we can do as a team and those who are close to me is to see that we'll only be this little family church like this. No. That's not the vision God has given me. I know how big we'll go here. I know where we're going to plant out. I know 3 places already where we will plant out and grow. This thing will become big. People that'll give their lives up to begin to serve here will become, their name will be made great. You'll be part of a kingdom that influences and touch and reaches people's lives. I can promise you that. You will be responsible in heaven. You will get to the doorway of heaven, to the gates of heaven, and God will say to you, look at all those that are following you. Look at all those that you've impacted. You will not understand how much is locked up on the inside of you to make a change, to make a difference to people's lives. So don't be, say with me, short-sighted. Never be short-sighted. And it says even to blindness, meaning people that are short-sighted, they are short-sighted, they are actually blind. They cannot see nothing. And has forgotten, hey, I've met some people. They actually forgot that they were cleansed from their old sins. Are you guys with me? They've forgotten their salvation, if I can say it to you in English. Unfortunately, there are people, they become blinded, short-sighted. Just want to huff and puff and leave the church. This and that, they've lost these qualities. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love, faith, power, knowledge, virtue. Are you guys okay? I'm just talking gently because of the mic. Can you hear me if I talk like this in the back? They've lost these qualities. They become short-sighted, unfruitful, barren, no, not doing anything spiritually. And then it says, therefore, brethren, so because of all these things, be even more diligent to make your call. So he says, have faith, have virtue, have these things, the brotherly kindness, all these things, knowledge. But even more than that, I want you to be so diligent in making your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, say with me, never stumble. The word stumble there actually means to utterly fall down, which means that you would walk in this Christian walk and you would be cast down or struck down. You'd be on your knees like this. But because you have made your call and your election sure, your eyes are keeping on the call. That even though you fall and you stumble, your eyes are on the call of God. And that call gets you back up again and causes you to carry on moving forward to it. And you struck down again, but you are focused on the call and you get back up again. And you go towards it, you will fall astray, but you will never be utterly struck down. Come on, are you guys with me? If that happens when you make the call of God, that happens when you make the call of God, sure. No man can tell me where I must be in life. Nothing. Are you guys with me? Maybe 10 years ago. Right now, no, I have made my call and election sure. Are you guys with me? The call of God. There's something in the call of God that if you follow it, if you make sure of it, that nothing will deter you from that thing. Nothing will move you astray. Make the call of God. Whether maybe you're called as an intercessor for ECC and you say, hell or high water, I am not leaving. I will be interceding here until demons listen to me. Maybe you're called as somebody who would have to run e-groups and you say, I will be the best e-group leader. Maybe you're called to somebody that has to do deliverance. You say, I'm going to do the best in that. Maybe you're somebody that just has to be hospitable and provide hospitality or work with the ushers. Or maybe you're going to plant out churches out of this church or ministries. But you say, I want to know the call of God upon my life. Once I know it, I will never stumble. I will never be utterly cast down. Listen. When I go through tough times, the hardest times I've gone through, the thing that would get me up is that I'm in love with God. I love His presence. He's never left me. Number two is that there's a call that He has for me. Oh yes, if the president asks you to do something, if the president asks me to do something, I'll do it. How much more God of the universe, whom I'll give an account of my whole life through. He is my Father in heaven. Every child wants to please their fathers. Everybody wants to please their earthly father. Try pleasing your heavenly Father. Are you with me? And you get to heaven and you hear the words, good and faith, well done, good and faithful servant. And you hear those words and you can go into the kingdom of heaven. And, stick to the call of God. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, Abram, get out of your country. How do you become great? You have to get out of your countrymen. Are you guys with me? What I mean by, I'm not saying leave the country. Get out of those whom you usually socialize and fellowship with, because they've kept you maybe at the same place. If there's people that are bad influence over your life, let them go. Get out of that type of people. Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will share. I'm not saying families must split up. I'm speaking of a spiritual principle. Get out of that association that's pulling you down to a land that I will show you. I will make you, which means that you are not yet, which means that God will develop you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Go for it to Amplified. And I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you with abundant favors, increase of favors, favors in business in every area, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Next verse. And I will bless those who bless you. Any person who blesses you, any person who financially blesses you, or who just brings happiness to your life, I will bless them. And I will curse him who curses you. or it is an insult language towards you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed. Listen here. In you, do you know that your decision to say, I want to take up the call of God, you, that decision you are making will cause thousands to get saved. There was one man sitting in a church. Him and his friends went and ran to church, and they sat right at the back. It was in the old days when they had the former hay bale stuff, where they sit on those stuff. It was like that. That's how the church was. And there was a man preaching by the name of Billy Sunday. Great preacher, and he preached. And there was a young man sitting with his friends in the back, and he did an altar call, and none of the friends came up, but the one man came up running to, one of the friends came up running to the front and started crying, got saved, got trained up in that church, and his name was Billy Graham. So imagine, you never know who you will touch. Now he's the world's greatest evangelist in history. You will never know who you touch. You never know. If you make this thing serious, make the call of God serious, your life might just cater for another 1,000 people, or 100, or one person will reach to another 1,000. Are you guys with me? That is how important this thing is. Can we all, let's stand to our feet. I don't want to take up our time, because we got tonight's service as well, and tonight is going to be wild. We're going to be ministering to you, anoint every person, and it's going to be Sean Pierce here as a guest artist. Come and enjoy it with us. Raise your hands for me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive right now the call of God, the revelation of the call of God upon my life. Allow me to walk into it and to never stumble to a place of utterly cast down, that though I fall, I will not be cast down. I will get back up and I'll follow the call of God. I love you. Make my number one priority to love your presence. Forgive me where I have missed it. But right now I receive your grace in Jesus' name. Give Jesus a praise offering, church, wherever you are.